If you opened up to 2 Corinthians, you can go ahead and stay there. We're going to be in verse, you can go over to chapter 10 though. Wednesday night was quite a service. Different. At one point, Tim says, Gary, what do I do now? And my response was, pray and obey, brother. That's all I can tell you is pray and obey. Well, we're entering into a time, are we not? Presence of the Lord. It's more important than ever to be sensitive to the leading of His Spirit. I know what He's going to have me teach this morning, and you'd think by now I would know better than to argue with the Lord. But I did just a little bit because I know that my lovely wife, Sue, next Saturday, is going to be teaching a women's meeting here on confession and practical applications of it that we've probably given a lot of testimony. So the Lord was dealing with me this morning when he showed me what He wanted me to teach on. I said, Lord, Sue's going to teach on that Saturday. He says, you're going to obey me or not? Because now I'm going to teach it from a teacher's point of view, from my point of view. Let's say it that way. How many of you know women just don't think like men? Have y'all figured that out yet? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. When she teaches, I still remember the words of Norville all those years ago. This helped me a lot. And if you're newly married or if you're oldly married, this will still bless you. Norville had it right. He said, men, God didn't give you your wife to understand. God gave you your wife to love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the truth. That is the truth. So he's going to, what we're going to talk about today, or what he wants me to teach on, has to do with confession, but it's really more than that. It really has to do with change. Has to do with change. And I have a series titled Changing Chronic Things. Now, let me finish in case you're getting this tape or you hear this on the internet. If you live in Tulsa or you want to be at this meeting, it's next Saturday here at the Prayer Center. That's Saturday, February 25th, 2006, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's going to be a wonderful spring-like day, I declare in Jesus' name, where the traffic, everybody can come that wants to come. You will be blessed. There is a wisdom that I really can't give you. I've done my best to give you what I have. And there'll be wisdom come forth from a perspective that I just can't give it to you. I know it's a women's meeting, but I doubt they'll run the men off. Maybe they will. I don't know. We'll see. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, the way that service ended up, Travis gave a small portion of his testimony. And I know wisdom when I hear it. I took notes. Let me just give you three of these. If you didn't write it down then, you ought to write it down now. This first one is really, that's not the title we're going to put on it, but it's because of this truth. It's why he's still teaching along these lines. Constant change is here to stay. Now, you better get that and get it straight. In fact, I'm going to say it a little more from a prophetic anointing. God is not real happy with your comfortable space. I heard once, I don't know if this is true, but it's a good picture for what the Lord is doing. You know, every now and then the eagle, when it's raising up its young in the nest, there comes a time when it's the little eaglets, it's time for them to begin to fly. Time to soar. Time to do what they're on earth to do. But, you know, if the nest is too comfortable, They just won't hardly take off and begin doing. They won't begin flying. Now, I heard this is, I don't know if this is really true or not, but I heard it. If that's the case, then the eagle will begin bringing some briars and some thorns, kind of lining that nest, not making it quite so comfortable. So that finally that little eagle says, I think I better learn to fly. We're coming into that kind of a season where you're what God's called you to do. You're going to be flying. See, that's the in truth part of worship. If you want to know, those that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Did y'all catch this when Dave said it that one? I think he's only said it once. Well, the in truth part. He can teach you a lot about the in spirit, how you are a duck. You're not a chicken. You're really a duck, even though you've been raised by chickens. Let me say it this way. You're a child of God. You're not in a religion. Even though you've been raised in religion, you're really a child of God. Now, you can worship Him for all of that and learn all of that. But how do you do it in truth? That's when the duck begins to fly. It's time to take off. For that to happen, people, constant change. I'm not standing here. I don't know where to go now. Constant change is here to stay. Constant change is here to stay. We tend to plateau. Again, I'm teaching by pictures. I guess you can tell by now. Man, I went through a change. I went through a change just to get here to the prayer center. I mean, dear God. And it was hard, and it was like climbing a vertical cliff wall. And I fell a few times, and that hurt. And I had to climb again. And finally, I reached this place where I am now. And it's fairly comfortable. And compared to where I was, I'm much higher. And God's saying, look up. There's some more cliff walls to scale ahead of you. Yeah, but I'm comfortable here. Am I going to have to bring some thorns? I'm not standing in front of you either. Am I going to have to bring some... And see, He doesn't bring trouble in your life. Don't let Him... I'm not preaching that. Car wrecks, cancer, no. You start getting discomfort in your spirit is what happens. That hunger begins to roll up and He starts showing you glimpses, not where you are walking, but where He sees you walking. And if you see that, then you can't be comfortable where you are. You're going, oh, bring the grappling hooks. Bring the climbing ropes. It's time to go sharpen my climbing boots again, those cleats on the bottom. Where's my pickaxe that I climbed that cliff with? We're talking about prayer, fasting, meditation of the Word. Those things that really produce change. Constant change is here to stay, people. The plateaus are going to be less and less. Because I hate to tell you this part. There's a whole long ways farther to climb. We got a long ways to go yet. Y'all figured that out? If you haven't, just look at me. I got a long ways to go. Second one. When I take care of His business, He takes care of mine. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like a verse I heard once. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the third one, ministry is not what you think it is. God, I love that. If you weren't here to hear that part of that testimony Wednesday night, you ought to get that tape. Just in the middle of his horseshoeing business. I've been around horses some, not like Travis, but I've been around them some. Horses are neat. They're wonderful. They're also smelly. And they can kick the bejabbers right out of you real quick. I mean, you know, they're a little bit dangerous, you know. I mean, you gotta kind of keep your mind on what you're doing. Okay? And, you know, the straw in your hair and manure in your nostrils, the smell of it. Most people would say, Lord, are you sure this is where I was called? You know? But he understands that he's called right where he is. And just lets the Spirit of the Lord just bubble up out of him. Right where he is. Begins praising Jesus. You have to hear the tape. But one of them rescued a man from suicide. Rescued a man who's been flirting with the idea of suicide. Another one, freshly born again, as I remember. Ministry, people, is not what you think it is. Hallelujah. Well, how do we change? If you're in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And because I'm such a stickler for leaving things in context, the way we normally teach this verse is not what Paul was writing about. We normally teach it like I'm going to teach on it today. I mean, I'm going to use it in this way. We normally teach it about learning how to pull down strongholds within ourselves so that we can change. And that's okay to teach that. And I'll show you why. But really what Paul's talking about, he was talking about when he comes back on his next visit, these opposers in the church, those that have been saying that Paul is not qualified as an apostle, he says, I'm coming with some weapons of warfare that are not carnal. And those guys that are talking like that, when I get through with them, they're not going to be talking that way anymore. Now let's look at it in the context, okay? So just starting in chapter 10, verse 1, I'll read on down a little bit so you can see what I'm saying here. It says, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In other words, he's not standing up here as a tyrant or a dictator. He says, By the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now let me read just a little more. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. And we could go on. Can you see what he's talking about? He's saying, I know all through the 1st and 2nd Corinthians both, a big part of his response, there were people in the church trying to divide and separate the sheep to follow them instead of Paul. No matter that Paul was the apostle that God sent to establish his church in the first place. In his absence, because eventually he had to go on and establish other churches, now there's these other apostles or other leaders, let's say it that way, they're rising up saying, we're not even sure if Paul is qualified to teach here. He's saying, I'm coming to take some vengeance on that kind of thinking. Now the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. I'm going to pull, you got some strongholds if you're thinking like that. I'm going to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now see, that's really what he's teaching. But the context we're going to use it today, in the context that we normally teach this, how many of y'all think you might have a few strongholds yet that are preventing you from walking in all that God has for your life? What are the types and shadows of the Old Testament? What is that promised land? Isn't that our life in Christ? Your portion of it, is that not your calling? Are there not giants in the land? What are those fortified cities? What's that the type and a shadow of? That's strongholds of wrong thinking and wrong believing, and it's full of the we be not ables. It's full of it. We be not able. Especially when it comes to financial things. I want you to do this. We be not able. I'm telling you to do it. How do you know you're not able? I looked at my checkbook. God says, why don't you look at mine? Strongholds of wrong thinking. So it's not wrong to use this in this context, and I've taught it many times, because the weapons of warfare that Paul is going to use to try and really he's trying to help these dividers. It's not good to be a divider in the body of Christ. And he's trying to He's coming to really restore them and reconcile them back into fellowship. But the same weapons of warfare that he's using, which he's going to use the Word of God, he's going to use the lessons that he's been taught by the Spirit of God to exhort and persuade these fellows and bring every thought captive. We do that same thing to rid ourselves of strongholds of wrong thinking and wrong doctrine. Now, so let's look at it in that light for just a moment. Yes, sir. Okay. Lord of my sake, come. Moshe. Okay, right after this, we'll do that. That's the sequence. I'll tell you in a minute. It's okay. Gary, how did you get to where that happens? Thousands, not hundreds. Thousands and thousands and thousands of hours praying in other tongues and feeding my brain the Word of God. Equipping my spirit, as Dave would say, for day and night meditation, and thousands of hours praying in other tongues. And you get to where you can hear him like that. It's easier here because of the corporate anointing and because I'm standing in my office right now as teacher. I have more trouble, like you have more trouble, when I need to make some decisions sometimes at home. Okay? But I'm telling you, he's told me time and again, there is a place in him where you hear him there, just like I hear him now here. We're coming to that place rapidly. Rapidly. All right. Verse 4 again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through who?
God.
If you'll learn how to do this, you're going to have God as your helper. These weapons are mighty through God. Yes, sir. I'm going to be just as plain and blunt with you as I know how. What I'm about to say, most of you can teach. And the problem is not that you don't know it. The problem is that you don't do it. He's not even relaying a foundation. He's exhorting to do what's on the foundation. Nothing I'm about to say is going to be new to you. Do y'all remember about a year or two ago, I was just minding my own business, really, and the Lord just said, I've been listening at the prayer center. I've been listening, the Lord says. I've been listening to everybody. And he says, and other than at the times of calling in the lost, I don't hear anybody during the week in their own life or any other time calling those things which be not as though they were. All I hear them saying is telling it like it is. Calling things that are as though they are. I've been listening. It's like he was sharing information with me and I didn't have it. He says, I don't hear anybody doing this. Not for revival, not for their own life. Not on any kind of consistent basis. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, when I repeated what he said, you remember the groans? Oh, ow, kind of a, got me. Oh, Lord, got me. Went through the audience. Well, this is kind of the same thing here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Now, these weapons are empowered by God. Let me ask you now, if your strongholds gets attacked by God, you reckon they might come down?
Yes.
If they come down, you reckon even you could change?
Yes.
I'm sure not standing in front of Daisy on purpose, I'm telling you right now. Even you could change if God got involved?
Yes.
Well, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And I can't say it any better than Pastor Dave says it. What is an imagination? It's more than just systems of thought. It is thought that's empowered by emotion. There's fear involved usually. There's fear involved because it's unknown. See, we're comfortable where we are. We don't know what's over there. Part of the problem with a stronghold, if you can picture a fortress or a castle, you don't know what's in there. How big are these guys? Once you get the walls down, now you got to fight the guys. How big are these guys? I've never been there. I don't even know what's behind there. You know? casting down imaginations, all those fears, fears of failure, fears of... It's exactly what kept Israel out of the promised land. The giants didn't keep them out of the promised land. Fear of the giants kept them out of the promised land. Fear of the giants. The second group had to face the same giants, the same strongholds, the same people. Nothing changed. God didn't change. The devil didn't change. And those circumstances didn't change. The only thing that changed was the people had to change. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now the particular part he wants me to emphasize today. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'm going to use Sue and I as examples so I don't have to use you. Aren't you glad about that? And in 2004, if I remember correctly, and I didn't know exactly how the Lord was going to do this, so I don't have the prophecy with me to read to you. But a word came through Dave, and the essence of it was this. I may not have it word for word, but Sue's here, and she'll correct me if I ask her if I'm wrong. And she won't if I'm, you know, she won't otherwise. But I'm asking you. It went something like this. This word came through Dave, and it says, "It is time to speak against the strongholds of lack and to declare an abundance." Did I get it pretty close?
Yeah.
Now, speak against does not mean think against. Speak against does not mean speak and tell your neighbors how bad your finances are. That's not what he's talking about. Speak against the strongholds of lack. Now, I just got to ask you something. Are those strongholds in Okmulgee? Are they in Broken Arrow? Beggs. They're probably in Beggs. Are they in Omaha? Ireland, maybe. Where do you reckon those strongholds are? They're in you! And they're empowered by thoughts of demonic origin. What does that mean? You're looking at the facts instead of what God says. That's called normal humanity, of which you're not. That's what normal humans do, is look at the facts. You're acting like your spirit is born in this world. You're an alien from another world. You act like you're limited by this world. She says, "I need a white hanky." Casting down strong... Bringing into captivity. When Sue and I, we began doing that. The days that we spend like 30 to 45 minutes, we have these confessions written. Don't ask me for my... You make your own cotton-picking confessions. You've been around here too long now. Come on. I'm going to put some thorns in your nest. Make your own confessions. Doesn't matter. The idea is speak against... Just do what he said. I don't care. Now, ours, the way it... It takes us 30 to 45 minutes usually to go through this. Speak against the strongholds of lack. Those strongholds are not in Okmulgee, they're in us. Where are they? They're where I am. We ought to have this hat years ago made up. You know, right across the front it says, "Strongholds are us." Thank God that's not that way anymore. And we have learned about some of these weapons of warfare. Okay? Well, we began confessing it. Things like the days of abundance are here. Just say that out loud with me. The days of abundance are here. Say it this way. I speak against the strongholds of lack. Lack, you're coming down. I cast you down. I refuse lack. The days of abundance are here. Now, just that quick, you can tell something's working on the inside of you already. There's something like a warrior beginning to stand up going, "What? What? I heard a call to arms. Where's my old rusty sword? Let me find that thing. Lord, I heard a trumpet. I heard a call to arms." That's your spirit on the inside.
been waiting for you to obey what God said. Speak against the strongholds of lack. Declare an abundance. You can't declare it without using your mouth. And I, to our collective shame, aren't you glad I haven't been following you around with a recorder? And I'm glad you haven't been following me either, except during our confession time. Now, the thing of it is, living with Sue, you don't get free of confession time. In a good way, now, in a loving way. She's going to tell you more about this next Saturday. How to do it, ladies, and make your man think it's his idea. She's good. I'm telling you, the woman's good. And whatever else, I'm trying not to... Still yet. Anyway, I got to go on with this. Speak against the strongholds of lack and declare an abundance. We began doing that. Now, we began doing that. We've been doing it well over a year. And things kept getting worse. Everyone say, over a year.
Over a year.
And things got worse.
And things got
worse. Over a year.
Over a year.
And things got worse. Who gave you a license to stop? I could bring out that prophecy from 10 years ago. Well, things got worse, so I quit. Where'd you get that instruction? Who gave you a license to quit? It's quiet in here. He wants me. He's going to stand in front of them either. Keep walking. I wouldn't want me standing in front of me either right now. Things kept getting worse, but I tell you what, an image began to come. An image on purpose. We would spend time. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Part of the reason why confession is so important. It builds an image on the inside of you. Hope has everything to do with what you see. Remember, God didn't just change Abraham's name. He did that. But he gave him something to see. You remember that? He took him out. I mean, they had a lifelong pattern of failure when it comes to producing babies. They never had. Now the circumstances look more impossible than ever. One old prune married to another old prune. The body says they're about 100 years old. Wasn't even the way of women with Sarah anymore. I mean, it looks totally impossible now. So what does God do? He doesn't just change what they say. You've got to change what you see. This is part of the weapons of your warfare. You've got to see it on purpose. We began to... Now, we've never had $1 million. I'll just tell you plain. I know you probably have. Sue and I have not. At this point, we have never had $1 million of our own. Or anybody else has come to think of it. So I said, you know, let's just sit here and think for a minute. How would we feel on the inside if the Lord had made us steward over just $1 million? Let's just think. What if in the Lord's checkbook, not ours, now we're not going to leave provision and pound. If you don't know what that means, we have some tapes for you. You can, or some messages at the website, GaryCarpenter.org. By the way, there's 291 audio lessons there so far. You're not waiting on me. Anyway, I don't have your blood on my hands. Got that? All right. So let's just picture. How would we feel if we sitting here right now knew that we had in the Lord's checkbook as His steward $1 million? Just one. Let's just start where you can start somewhere. Think about that. Close your eyes. Let's live in that world for just a minute. You say, this sounds like New Age. No, New Age sounds like this. They're doing it to promote man. We're doing it to promote the kingdom. The devil's just tried to counterfeit God's plan the whole time. We do it for the king and for the kingdom. Okay? Man perverts everything. The devil perverts and counterfeits everything for trying to make selfish purposes. I'll be honest with you. I'm just not particularly interested in $1 million for Sue and I. I mean, we can only wear so many clothes. We can only drive one car at a time. Obviously, I'm eating enough. I am real interested in $1 million for the kingdom. I'm real interested in that. So let's think about that. Just close your eyes. I'm sorry. Close your eyes. Let's Think how it feels right now. Let's just say it out loud. Let's call those things that be not as though they were for just a moment. Say it after me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That as your steward,
I have
right now,
authority and dominion
over $1 million
for the kingdom of God.
I say by faith.
I have $1 million
in my stewardship checkbook. I'm waiting for your voice
to tell me where to send it.
What do you want to do with this, Lord?
I am your steward.
I have it.
I could send a check right now
for any amount you say.
Up to and including
$1 million.
I could send $100,000 there.
I could send $500 over there.
I could send $500,000 over yonder.
I'm ready.
I've got it.
I am your steward.
Pictures are
happening on the inside of you. Pictures are happening. Sue and I began doing that, and sure enough, over time it's slow. And that's not just doing it for 5 minutes. That's doing it maybe 40 minutes a day average, something like that. And spending time on purpose there, landing there for a moment. Spend some time with this godly hope thing. Getting a picture on the inside. What does that feel like? I know what it feels like not to have enough. See, I've never tasted and experienced what it's like to have an overflow for the Lord of $1 million. I want to live there first. I want to live there for a minute. So we began to do that, and this picture and this image began to form on the inside. All right? That's part of why confession works. Part of why we have to renew our mind. Now, the particular part that he wants me to talk about here is the last part of verse 5 where it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One day we were sharing and talking, and it dawned on us. I guess if we would have thought about it, we would have assumed that it was probably happening to both of us. I knew it was happening with me. She knew it was happening with her, but we just didn't discuss it too much till one day. See, because the problem is that demon of same old. That demon of same old. You know who I mean by that? Your life is so daily. And then here you're on purpose bringing down these strongholds, and you're living in a place where you have an abundance of at least $1 million. And then the trouble of it is, the credit card bill is due Thursday, or the Sears bill, or the electric bill. And at this moment, when you look in the checkbook, it doesn't even look like there's enough maybe to pay that, much less steward me. So now you're faced with feelings, a pattern that you are way too familiar with. Without even realizing what's happening, one day the Lord showed it to me like this. Suddenly there's rebellion in the camp. Your thought life rises up. And without you even realizing you're doing it, you start thinking and meditating on what has been. Your old thought patterns. Well, here we are again. Maybe it's Christmas time. You don't even know where you're going to get any money for Christmas presents. Or maybe it's anything. You know, the tires are wearing out on the car. I don't know where we're going to get those old thought patterns of lack. You don't even realize that if you can picture your mind like an army camp, and all of these thoughts like soldiers, suddenly there's rebellion in the camp. God has told you what to think. Declare an abundance. But there is rebellion in the camp. And a portion of your soldiers have rebelled against the king. And you've got thoughts over here thinking old thought patterns of lack. Old thought patterns of the way things have been. You may not even realize you're doing it. I call it, suddenly you'll come to yourself. You go, what am I doing? Sue and I had to learn. We had to learn this, people. And this is what he's talking about. What does it say? Take every thought captive. The way we saw it, When we come to ourselves and realize that we've been meditating on that, it's like, huh, there's rebellion in the camp. We draw out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We began speaking God's Word, using it like a sword. And on purpose, the way we see it, we say, thoughts, all of you, bow the knee. Every one of you bow right here before the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You bow before the throne until each and every one of you confesses the days of abundance are here. We allow no rebellion in this camp. I bring every thought captive. And I mean, if I have to bring them in chains, if I have to confess the word for 2 hours, I don't care, however long it takes, till my thought life bows the knee. Then I may have to do it again 2 hours from now. There is no such thing as change without change. If you think you're going to change without change, you've got another thing coming. Now, I know it kind of sounds funny. That's the most profound thing I've said today. You're going to have to do something different than what you've been doing. Or you're not going to change. Praying in tongues produces the revelation. But someday there has to come an incorporation of that revelation. Now the Lord dealt with me on that years ago. Years ago. He brought me up. He showed me what Gary was like. I know none of you are like this, but this is what Gary was like. I was praying and praying and praying, and suddenly I come up to this big old stronghold. I knew it was in me. It wasn't in you. It was in me. Some kind of stronghold. It looked like Jericho. And I saw in this vision, Gary, just me. It wasn't nobody but me walking around this thing. I'm walking around it like they did Jericho, blowing a trumpet. Actually, I was praying in tongues. I saw myself walking around it, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And suddenly, just like in the book, the walls just came down. Suddenly, they were just gone. And I could, before the walls come down, I could not see what was on the inside of there. But suddenly, I could see. And I don't know why it was this way, but the way it was like a scene out of the Middle Ages. And these people were dressed kind of like the movies I've seen in the Middle Ages, you know, and they had on robes and the way they worked in. This one guy was in the, I remember, this one guy had like a butcher block table there in the middle. And he was just working. He was cutting up fish and stuff, cutting up fish. That must have been a butcher or something, you know, preparing it for the day. This one woman was walking across the yard with a baby in her arms, just walking across. And there were apartments in there where people lived. And it was just a little city, you know. I know now it was my thought life. But anyway. And there were guards and everything, but they were just kind of at ease and just talking. You know, they had their spears and their swords, but they were holstered and they were just kind of talking because everything was fine and at peace. That lady that was carrying the baby across, she happened to glance over to where I was standing. I'm still on the perimeter. The wall just came down. I'm standing there looking in. She glanced at me and she looked back again. She looked at me and she suddenly it dawned on her that I could see her. She shouted, "He can see us." And I mean, it went all through the camp. I mean, she grabbed her baby and she began running for wherever she lives. That butcher guy, he's not chopping fish anymore. He's got that big old meat cleaver and he's like, "Where? Where is he? Where?" Those guards, suddenly they come to attention. They got their spears, drew their sword out. In other words, they're preparing for battle. Because they know if I can see them, the next thing is I'm putting them to death. But here's what Gary did. I continued to stay outside the edge of where the wall used to be. Just look. I was so interested. Wow. I had no idea that this was over here. And I didn't know this lived in this strong. So that's the way. That's the reason I am the way I am. Okay. See, just knowing. And my mother didn't. But you know, the common thing. Just because your mother was mean to you. Knowing that doesn't change you. You know. You got to do something about that. Okay, my mother was not mean to me, but that's the common thing, you know. Anyway, I just kept looking at it. They're ready for war. They're expecting me to come in, man, and start putting those things to death. You know what I did in the vision? After a while, I got bored of looking at that one. I looked over on the next hill. There was another city called Ai. And I go, huh, wonder what's in that stronghold. And I start walking over there. They just kind of went back to, you know, back to at ease. I took one more glance over my shoulder about halfway to AI. And I saw them rebuilding the walls. There's no such thing as change without change. He's going to show you things. That's the first part of it. But then He's going to empower you. Once you see it, He's going to empower you to put it to death. That part's not always, it's not called, the analogy is not war for nothing. Some of those changes have been very difficult to incorporate in our lives. No point going into that. Yours would be different than mine anyway. Some of them have been very difficult. What's that old deal? War is hell. That's why we avoid it. That's why it's difficult to change. Because he'll be talking, he'll be getting right where you live. And it's not easy. And you're going to find your old thought patterns going back, going back, going back. No, this is how I've always been. I know I can't change. I've tried that before. Yummy, 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 yummy. And the thing of it is, you're still yet going to have to draw out that sword. When you find rebellion in the camp, you got to draw out the sword and take, look what it says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What did he say in this example I'm using? Speak against the strongholds of lack and declare an abundance. Our mindset, we have lived, what's that old deal? They have it in a lot of offices. We have done so much for so long with so little, we can now do everything with nothing. That's a stronghold of lack. Now I'm glad that you're a hard worker and that you're doing it that way. That is not an abundance mindset. But all of us could probably have that over our wall, over our desk right now, couldn't we? How about, we have done so much for so long with such an abundance, we don't know what to do with everything that's left over. God, you must have bigger dreams than this because we have too much abundance. That's an abundance mindset. And that's not going to change without warfare on our part. Hallelujah. Go to Psalms 103. Now, the reason I'm going there, I know this is Old Covenant. But you got to remember, now, boy, if you get this, it was worth the price of driving in the snow. Your soul is no different than a person's soul under the Old Covenant. Your soul did not get born again. Your spirit got born again. But you're contending with the same kind of a soul that King David had to contend with. Now his teacher was not exactly the Holy Ghost. It was. His teacher was the Holy Ghost through the law. God gave them the law as their guide to walk by. I wouldn't even have known covetous was wrong unless your law said, do not covet. Now, the law came to them through the agency of the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit, the way He taught them was a little different than how He teaches our spirit. Okay, you already know all this. This is all in the foundation, okay? But now the point is this. Your soul, the intellect, the will, the emotions did not get born again. When you got born again, that old song, I like to sing it too. It makes me shout and makes me want to dance. It basically goes, when I got saved, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. No, they didn't. You got the same hands after you born again. You got the same feet and you got the same brain. You got all the same memories. You didn't suddenly have a doctorate in physics the day you got born again. If you want a doctorate in physics, you got to go study. That's a soul in the soul arena. You got the same. So David learned a secret on how to deal with his soul, even under the old covenant. But the soul that we've got to renew, the brain part of us, the think of where the imagination is, it's got to be renewed, and it's very much the same as what King David had to do. Now, your spirit has access to information that David just never had. I'll just be honest with you. Holy Ghost is your ultimate teacher, but that is spiritually discerned. Remember that? These things of God, they're spiritually discerned. Well, you got to get that from your spirit to your soul. And confession is one tool, one of those weapons of our warfare. Now watch how King David had to learn this, even in the Old Testament. Psalms 103. Glory to God. I know I had Psalms 103 when I got here. Now notice this. Who blessed the Lord, O my what? Here's a man talking to his own soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you know your soul, you born again, tongue talking, miracle working Christian? You can forget his benefits too. Watch this. The 8:30 service. Who forgives all thine iniquities. The 8:30 service this morning. Tim took us back through a time. Leah was going through a difficult time getting into fasting. And her soul was giving her trouble. There was condemnation. I've been there on all kinds of things. And the Lord, through a word of prophecy, had to remind her again. Like he's had to remind me about the blood. Said, look, you just need to... What does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You go back to that blood, tomorrow's not a new day. Tomorrow's your first day. You've never failed God. But your soul can forget that. I don't care if you are born again, tongue talking. Your soul can forget it. And you sometimes you need to do just exactly like what King David doing here. Soul, don't you forget about the blood. Don't you forget. That blood cleanses me of all unrighteousness. I have never failed God. I took a bath in the blood about 2 minutes ago. And I am freshly washed. You could go to the evidence room in heaven and pull out every drawer. There's evidence against Gary Carpenter. And all you're going to see is white. Because he washes me whiter than snow. You're not going to find any evidence against me. But my soul can forget that if I let it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgives all mine iniquities. How about yours? Forgives all your iniquities. Glory to God. Who heals all thy diseases. All of them. Boy, it'd be good just to walk the floor. Just every now and then. Let's take some thoughts captive. You ever get a pain? Ow! Immediately there's rebellion in the camp. I'm sick. Well, now wait a minute. So are you going to forget his benefits? By his stripes? I was healed. Yeah, but. So you got to watch the yabbits. They're wild creatures, those yabbits. You got to take them. You got to watch them now. They're wild and nasty. Them yabbits, they'll come after you. I've been attacked by whole herds of yabbits. You know. You got to take them captive. That's a good picture. Here comes the yabbits. All right, settle in. We're supposed to be holy and spiritual and stuff here. Hallelujah. Who heals all thy diseases? I gotta go here. The lion clock is lying again. We gotta go here. How about verse 4? Is it good for your soul to remember this? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeems thy life from destruction? I have to remind myself every now and then, the safest airplane to be on is the one I'm on. Blake mentioned that to me, wasn't it? Safest plane to be on. I've heard it many times before. Got going to South Africa. I'll just tell you the truth. I had dreams before that trip of crashing in the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, I got attacked by the Yabbits. I really did, though. I had more than once. I had a dream. I wake up in a cold sweat before that trip of the plane crashing and me dying and never. You know, it says better be sure and kiss your wife goodbye. I remember it. I had to cast those things down. I had to go back to Psalms 91. With long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. Because I have set my love upon Him, He will deliver me in the day of trouble. Glory to God. The safest airplane to be on is the one I'm on. You people ought to be rejoicing. You're on the same airplane with me. Glory to God. You need to get saved too, glory to God. Your soul can forget that. The devil was trying to get me to forget it. That's why he was sending those dreams. I had to get Psalms 91 out. Take that sword of the Spirit and tell those thoughts, bow the knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With long life, He'll satisfy me. I'm going to be an old man going, you need to obey God. You need to obey God, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Who crowns thee with loving kindness. Can y'all see my crown? To hear some people talk, you'd think that He crowns them with thorns. But I'm telling you, my God crowns me with loving kindness. Kindness. And even better for me, from my point of view, tender mercies. I love the word mercy. I love grace, but I love mercy. I understand mercy. Mercy is when I'm guilty and He forgives me anyway. Now, grace is when He brings His power to help you out of your dilemma. But before that comes, thank God for His mercy. Thank God. I don't know what He's crowning you with. Well, I do, really. But I have to remind my soul can forget. I have to take thoughts captive. He crowns you with loving kindness. Tender mercies. Glory to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. This good stuff. Our soul is not born again. It's got to be fed the truth of God's Word. Everything that God teaches us, we have to reprogram our thinking and not allow rebellion in the camp. What He says to you, that is your life, and you have to program your mind. You have to program yourself on purpose, or change is not going to happen. Glory to God. These are just one of the weapons of our warfare. But I got to tell you again, I promise you, I can't prove it, I probably never will, but I promise you there was more praying in tongues done this week by the prayer center than there was anybody calling those things that be not as though they were. Not very much of that going on. Not much of that just walking the floor and confessing God's word over your situation. I'll tell you this, when He brought this up three times, this is a true event that happened in our life. Yes, sir. It was in our life because it was dealt with a good friend of ours. He had a son who was a good young man, but he got involved with the wrong crowd. Long story short, he wasn't a major dealer in drugs or anything, but him and his wife, they did dabble in it some. They had some in their house. Just barely enough to where somebody that was upset with them called the police and turned them in. Even though they weren't really distributors or anything, the way it hit the papers and all, they had just enough measurement of drugs in their house to where they could be charged with intent to distribute. Okay? They wasn't the only thing. They were doing some wrong stuff. I'm not saying they didn't have it coming. But it amazed us all on a first-time offense when the husband, who is the son of a really good friend of mine, got 12 years. I was there. I was in the courtroom. 12 years. They put the handcuffs on him. He didn't even get to kiss his wife goodbye. And they led him away. Well, we got a phone call from that couple. I mean, I've known this family at that time probably 20 years. Long-standing association with this family. The dad was an elder in the church. Loved God. Served God. The mom, too. She wasn't an elder, but I mean, they both served God. But these children just did what they did. So, I mean, they invited us. They needed help. So we went over there that evening and talking with them. And boy, I didn't know. What do you say? Your eldest son has gone away now for 12 years. His wife, your daughter-in-law, has now got to raise your grandchild. And the grandchild's only like, I think, less than 2 years old at the time. 12 years. I didn't know what to say. You know, Sue was there. And suddenly the Lord said this. And I didn't know very much then compared. This was many years ago. I said, get out a sheet of paper. Get out a spiral. Get out something to write on. The two of you, I want you to write down, not the way it is. I want you to write a description of your son, his marriage, the way you see it should be. You write it out. I mean, do you want him to be in prison? No. Then write something else. Write, get a vision. I didn't say it. I don't think I used those words then. I didn't know that faith. I didn't really know to this extent that I do now that faith is the substance of things hoped for. But what God was really doing, I didn't have these words then. He had to give them a vision. They had to have hope. And I said, write it out. So they did. It took them a little while. They wrote it out. Our son is this and that, and he's honest, and then he's a, you know, a good employee, and he never messes with drugs, and you know, he's a good provider for the family, and the wife is a good wife, and I forget what all. They had a good page, though, Sue, didn't they? It was a good page written out. Boy, and it was just like you would write for yours. I said, you say that out loud every day in the name of Jesus as though that's the way it is. I did a little lesson on the Abraham, you know, calling those things that be not as though they were. 12-year sentence. Now, the thing of it is, this would not have happened had they not done it. They're just simple enough to do it. He was out in 8 months. 8 months. Oh, by the way, which we never understood, this first-time offense, you know where they sent him? Not Just Dunn. Not Taft. McAllister. I mean, it looked as bad as it can look. But by them not allowing thoughts of rebellion, if they'd have kept going the way they were going, all is lost. It's hopeless. We didn't raise our son like this. Just the way normal humans do, he would have probably served the whole 12. But they saw hope in their God. They began actually doing what it's hard to get people to do. And they begin speaking with their mouth the hope of God. And God turned that situation. 8 months later, that boy was out of jail, taking care of his family. And to my knowledge, now this is just to my knowledge, never messed with drugs again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to do something. He's told me that I don't care what situation you're in. Now that example was about children. I've given you an example from Sue and our life about this going from just barely enough to abundance, because that's what he's wanting. But it applies to every area of life. You may be fighting a physical thing. You may have a cancer. You may have a disease in your body. I am telling you, when was the last time you spoke to your soul? Forget not his benefits. Forget who heals all thy diseases, who forgives all thine iniquities, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We have weapons The thing, if we'll do these things, which the world just won't do now. The only way they'll do it is for selfish reasons. They call that New Age. But when you're doing it to serve the King, that is called the gospel. It's called faith. That is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's time to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Have you got the picture? One more time. Stand up for a minute. Stand up. I'm actually closing, believe it or not. Now I want you to picture in your own mind, within you, there is an army. It is an army of thoughts. Every one of you has got an army of thoughts. These armies, if they're not controlled by something, by a general, you're going to have portions of those army men of yours, those thoughts. They're going to only go by what they see. They're going to rise up in rebellion and be speaking against what God has said to you. Now I want you to see yourself walking up right now as the general and commanding officer. You are the one in charge. And you're saying, all right, I see you rebellion over there. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, bow the knee. Bow the knee. I'm coming with the sword of the Spirit. Every one of you, you bow right here before the throne of Jesus. I will not allow you to speak or think against what my King has said. Say it with me.
I will take
every thought captive
to the obedience of Christ.
Soul,
my own soul,
I command you.
Bow the knee.
Think His thoughts.
Speak His words.
Let Him
live
His life
through me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just lift your hands and give Him praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say it with me.
I can do all things
through Christ
who strengthens me.
I can do what He says
just because He said it.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God.